What is going on, Warrior Soul Nation? This is Chris Albert, and welcome to another episode of the Warrior Soul Podcast. Today, we've got a really special guest, Thomas DeLauer. Thomas is one of the top fitness models in the fitness industry. He's been on the cover of numerous magazines. I think that's ranging in the hundreds. He's also got a really popular YouTube channel. Now, this guy is not just one of these guys who's jacked and tan and has a good set of abs and looks good. He's really, really knowledgeable. In fact, he's probably one of the top experts out there on inflammation. And if you go on his YouTube channel, it's absolutely packed with value. There's so much great stuff on there that he gives out to his subscribers every single week. And you can learn a lot just by listening to this guy. But the reason why we brought Thomas on was to talk about ways that veterans and active duty military service members can reduce their own levels of inflammation. I can't talk today, guys. He came on basically to help you guys deal with chronic inflammation. And if you're not aware, chronic inflammation is one of those things that is kind of at the root cause of a lot of the issues that veterans are facing today, ranging from post-traumatic stress to traumatic brain injury, all the way up to diabetes. And a lot of people don't know this, but 1 in 4 veterans admitted to the VA system currently has diabetes. So what he's going to go into today are some really low-cost methods and some really practical tips for you guys to begin to be able to reduce your inflammation while you're on active duty and when you get out into the civilian world and you're beginning your civilian lives. Really quick note from our sponsors, F-Bomb Nutrition. I got to go out and visit F-Bomb about a week ago out there in Flagstaff, Arizona. Really great people who absolutely want to help veterans. Now, what do? They create these awesome individual packets of fat. Now they've got their fuel packets, not their fuel packets, their fat packets. Their fat packets are packed with things like olive oil, coconut oil, MCT oil, really quick, great sources of fuel that you can use. But I also really, really love their fuel packets. Their fuel packets are packed with nut butter. They've got a macadamia nut butter base, and then they have a bunch of different mixtures that they do. So they've got macadamia nut butter with coconut butter, which is absolutely delicious. I eat 3 of those things a day. They've also got them mixed up with chocolate, with sea salt, and also now with pecan butter. These things are absolutely delicious. They taste like a crushed up macadamia nut cookie in a little packet that you can put directly in your mouth. And they are awesome. They're also very, very good for you. Now, there's no sugar in these things, and I'm always talking about the benefits of getting fat in your diet, but sometimes it's hard to get good fats when you're out and about and on the road. And for our listeners, they've given us a discount code. If you use the code WARRIORSOUL at checkout at www.dropanfbomb.com, you'll get 20% off of your first order. So check out www.dropanfbomb.com. Use that code WARRIORSOUL. Get yourself some delicious packets filled with nut butter, and you'll thank me later. So with that, let's get on with this episode of the Warrior Soul Podcast with Thomas DeLauer.
This is Chris Albert, and I'm here to remind you of one thing. Someday, you're going to die. Now, that's not some morbid statement or scary idea. It's solid fact. Your time here on this earth is limited. And you need to be reminded of this as much as possible for one simple reason: to live your best life while you can. This is the Warrior Soul Podcast.
What is going on, everybody? Welcome to the Warrior Soul Podcast. And today I have the privilege of bringing on Thomas DeLauer. Now, Thomas is a fitness model. He's been on numerous magazine covers. He's been in the industry for quite a while, but at one time, Thomas, I believe, was 280 pounds businessman who's kind of hating life. And he really had a really profound transformation in his physique, in his lifestyle, and in the way he saw his health and fitness. But one of the biggest things about Thomas that I really like is that he's not just a set of abs and a good pair of biceps and a pretty face. He is one of the most knowledgeable people that I've found on YouTube. He brings high quality content several times a week to his YouTube channel. And he has come on today to talk about a really important issue for the veteran community. And that is total body chronic inflammation. And if you don't believe this is important, hear me out on this. Currently, the biggest plagues that we're facing right now are, of course, PTSD and traumatic brain injury. Both are related in some ways to inflammation. In addition to that, and I've said this a bunch of times on this podcast, we've got 25% of our population who's been admitted to the VA, 1 in 4 veterans who are suffering from full-blown diabetes. Now, this is in many ways related back to the food we eat, how we treat our bodies, but also to this idea of inflammation and how inflammation can cause us to become more and more insulin resistant. So we're going to get into some really cool things today. And Thomas, I want to welcome you to the Warrior Soul podcast.
I appreciate you having me. It's an honor to be here. It's an honor to speak to you and to all the veterans that are listening.
Yeah, I just want to say, you know, Thomas jumped at the chance to come on here when I asked him. And, you know, when you talk to somebody who's been on several magazine covers, you don't expect to get a reply right back within a few minutes. But Thomas was eager to come on and really help this community out. So again, a big thanks there. I wanted to get started because, you know, I watch your channel. I'm a very, very big fan of your content. And you have so many amazing home remedies that you put out there. You're kind of like the weird anti-inflammatory drink guy. You've got all this awesome science that you put out there, and you put it out there into like really digestible bits. Why should we be so concerned with total body chronic inflammation?
Yeah, I mean, the simplest way to put it, it truly is the root of just about every single disease state that's in the body. You know, whether it be psychiatric, whether it be completely unrelated when it seems like it's not. I mean, when it's talking about the digestive system, we're talking about respiratory, we're talking about cancer, everything comes back to inflammation. And we always think of inflammation as just, in fact, most of us don't even think about it. We just think it might be swelling or water retention, or maybe if we have a little bit of understanding of what inflammation is, we think about it as the swelling that happens when you bump your elbow or you bump your knee, but no one really thinks about what's happening at the cellular level. And our cells are living bodies just like we are. They have inflammation that occurs at their level, just like we have at our skin or at our, you know, these visible layers too. So this is literally everything that is wrong with anyone that is sick. I mean, it all comes back down to inflammation, and it's extremely complex, and we can dive into a lot of detail on it. But the reason that people need to be focused on it and need to be, I hate to say be concerned, because I don't want to fearmonger and tell everyone they need to be afraid of it. But when they understand that anytime you are sick or anytime you are suffering from any illness, terminal or not, it is because of the level of inflammation that's in your body. So we do need to be aware of it. I don't know if we should be sitting here, you know, freaking out about it, but we do need to be aware of what's doing to our body and how we can start to mitigate some of the issues with it.
So a lot of our audience right now is they're either just getting out of the military or they're currently serving in the military. And a lot of them are serving in the combat arms. So just to give you a good idea of what they're going through right now, a lot of them, when they're out in the field, they're living off of MREs, which most of they're packed with sugar. They're really hard to digest. And by hard to digest, they say that pain is MREs leaving the body. They're dealing with a lot of different things. So they're dealing with a lack of sleep. They're constantly putting their bodies through all kinds of crazy different things. And then, you know, there might be a little bit of alcohol going on in the off time. There's also a lot of different types of chemicals that are around on a daily basis. For somebody in this kind of situation who might be an active duty Marine or a soldier, what are some simple things that they could do, simple things that they could implement that would reduce the amount of inflammation that's going on in their bodies?
Yeah, totally. Well, it can be a little bit difficult, you know, when you're in the military and you already have pre-ration meals are already set up for you. You're eating MREs. You can't just completely change your diet. So some of the things that you have to do are a little bit different. I've worked with a lot of combat arms veterans, and I've worked with a lot of people that are actively serving. And one of the things that is really becoming more popular is small bouts of intermittent fasting, because that is one thing that you do have a little bit more control over. Intermittent fasting is very, very powerful for reducing inflammation in the body, even if it's just temporary. And the thing is you can't change your diet. You can't necessarily eat a ketogenic diet. You can't eat more fruits and veggies. You can't, but you can abstain from food for certain amounts of time while you are serving, or even while you're home. It's a great way to slowly start indoctrinating these practices that are going to help modulate inflammation within the body. Now, I mean, I will say, full disclaimer, if you're very, very, very active, if you're currently serving and you're absolutely just pushed to the limit physically, it may not be a good idea to employ some fasting tactics at that point in time. But if you're on base, if you're just kind of going through the motions at this very point in time, then play around with fasting. Give it a shot. You might find that you end up feeling really good. But also, there's the added benefit of the cosmetic results too. I mean, you do get an amazing shape from it. But we also talk about the fact that inflammation is obesity at its very root. When we have fat cells, they are inflamed. That is why we have obesity. Obesity in and of itself is inflammation. So every single tactic I'm going to talk about today when it comes down to reducing inflammation just so happens to also be tremendous ways to drop some body fat and get in good shape too. And I don't care who you are, that's a good thing. So that's the big one. Now, the other one that I'm a huge fan of, if you're at home, this might be a little bit harder to do if you're overseas, but apple cider vinegar, the acetic acid in apple cider vinegar is something that is so, so, so powerful. Huge abilities to modulate inflammation. And we're talking just one or two tablespoons of apple cider vinegar. That's straight up acetic acid. Here's the cool thing, man. I don't know if you knew this, but apple cider vinegar has a lot of properties. We love it. We love it because it's got a lot of antibacterial, antimicrobial properties. But if you are pressed and you cannot get your hands on apple cider vinegar, you can get a similar effect just by consuming a little bit of regular white vinegar. Still has acetic acid. It's just not nearly as powerful as the apple cider vinegar is. So for every one tablespoon of apple cider vinegar, you'd probably need more like a quarter cup of vinegar. But the thing is, you know, if you're overseas, you can probably get your hands on vinegar. That's a little bit easier. You know, they'll be in cleaning solutions, things like that. So those kind of things really have a big effect on inflammation and can make a big difference in how you feel day in and day out. The other thing that you're going to want to be paying very, very close attention to is probably taking in some potassium or taking in some magnesium in conjunction with the MREs that you're eating. The MREs obviously are very high in sodium for good reason. They're there to be able to prepare you to get dehydrated. The whole idea of bringing in salt is to help you retain water so that when you do go long periods of time without eating or drinking, you'll be okay. However, it's not modulated. Unfortunately, the military diet programs don't modulate our diets based on when we're active or less active. So it's going to end up being MREs, whether you're running or not running, which means that sometimes you have way too much sodium, which is never getting counterbalanced. So I highly recommend, running to the PX or wherever you can and getting your hands on some potassium. Just 99 milligrams and a little bit of magnesium too would help you out a lot.
The apple cider vinegar, that's something I do every single morning. I'll drink a couple of tablespoons in a glass of water with some lemon juice, and it makes me feel really good. One question I had on that is that it's also a detoxifier, if I'm correct. Doesn't it help to detox the liver a bit?
Yeah, it does. So it comes back down to the acetic acid and how it works. So it takes the strain off the liver. You see, whenever we're consuming any kind of starches or carbohydrates or anything like that, we have these glucose transporters that actually carry the carbohydrates through the bloodstream to actually go where they need to go. When we consume acetic acid or apple cider vinegar, we don't get as many of those glucose transporters present. It slows down the process of that, which thereby means the liver is not having to process carbohydrates for a little point in time. So what it does is it actually takes the stress off of the liver so the liver can focus on detoxing. the liver is always trying to detox our body. So whenever someone says, you know, you're trying to do a detox or anything like that, it's a little bit, it's not quite that way. Our bodies have their own innate ability to detox. We just need to give them the opportunity to. Right. So if we stop the eating or we stop the glucose transport in this case for a little bit, it allows the liver a chance to actually detox. So when it comes down to the body's ability to actually detox, you know, a lot of times we hear that we need to allow our bodies to detox or we need to detox our bodies. The fact that our bodies have a natural ability to detox already, we just need to be able to allow that to happen. And the liver is the component of the body that actually allows us to detox. So when we're in a situation where we're constantly eating, we're constantly bringing things in, we are never giving our body an actual chance to detox. So apple cider vinegar slows that process down, slows digestion down a little bit, and makes it so that the liver can actually do its job. It's the same premise as fasting, but just a slightly different mechanism.
That's pretty awesome. Yeah, it really helps me out a lot. One of the things I suffer from is an autoimmune disease called ulcerative colitis. And it's made my life a living hell at different points of time. You know, been diagnosed with it for about 10 years now. And apple cider vinegar, the ketogenic diet, fasting, all of these are things that have helped to keep me from constantly being in a state of flare where I am I'm literally suffering so much. And we get a lot of guys who are suffering from those types of autoimmune diseases too. I hear a lot about the ketogenic diet on your channel, and I've been a big fan of the ketogenic diet for a while. I like the way that you speak about it though, because you go into it as a way of getting wellness, right? As a way of improving your body, improving your brain. And, Could you speak about why that is so? Why does the ketogenic diet help with inflammation and help with brain power?
Yeah, totally. So ketogenic diet, first off, it's like you said, it gets a little bit of a bad rap from the wrong people preaching it. You know, people are always, anytime someone comes at something from purely a cosmetic body composition way, it gets a bad rap. And that's why I don't come at it from that direction. My wife suffers from autoimmune conditions. She has Lyme disease, which is not an autoimmune condition, but she has Hashimoto, which is an autoimmune condition. So it's very near and dear to me, and understanding that is important. So when I started looking at the ketogenic diet, that was what was on the forefront of my mind, was exactly that. And when we look at the ketogenic diet and how that works, beta-hydroxybutyrate, which is the main ketone body that's produced whenever we're in ketosis, is in and of itself very anti-inflammatory. It's a very metabolically easy to operate with. So it's used as fuel very, very easily. The mitochondria, which are components of our cells that actually create energy. Whenever we move, whenever anything is happening, it's mitochondria doing the job. It's basically, it moves very, very fast in the cell like a turbine inside the mitochondria and allows energy in the electron transport chain to actually occur. So it basically creates energy. Well, beta-hydroxybutyrate can operate within the mitochondria significantly better than glucose can. Our bodies are quite honestly more designed to run on these ketones than they are designed to run on glucose, which thereby makes it a very efficient process. When you have an efficient process, it's less strain on the body. It's plain and simple. It takes a lot of effort to metabolize glucose. When we're metabolizing glucose, we're incurring a lot of stress. Stress causes more inflammation. It's more stress on the cells. So we're basically streamlining it. It's like, you know, your body operating as a clean burning engine versus, you know, a diesel engine with 600,000 miles on it that's just running very, very poorly, leaving a lot of just waste in your body. So it leaves a lot less for your body to have to clean it up, which makes it very, very powerful. It gets into the brain very easily because it's a smaller molecule. We have this thing in our brain called the blood-brain barrier. Blood-brain barrier's job is to protect the brain from just about everything in the bloodstream. In fact, a lot of inflammation isn't even allowed in the brain, believe it or not. I mean, the inflammation that flows through our body is so, so bad that our own brain knows that it's bad and sets up a barrier to even keep inflammation out of the brain. However, there are certain periods where you can get so traumatized, PTSD being one of them, one of these situations when you're really having issues, where you do have a level of brain inflammation. Well, beta-hydroxybutyrate, the ketone body, can cross through the blood-brain barrier because it's small enough. Glucose can't. Glucose has to be broken down. It has to be broken down into acetyl-coenzyme A before it can go into the brain, whereas beta-hydroxybutyrate can go straight into the brain and give you pure brain energy. That's why so many people say they feel so much better. Their symptoms of depression, their symptoms of anxiety go down markedly when they're on a ketogenic diet.
That's been a big factor for me. Just having been on it, I've been on it for about 5 years now. And at one time I was doing the whole bodybuilder thing. And I was actually able to train for bodybuilding shows, maintain muscle. I was very, very strong, and I was eating very little carbs and very moderate protein and lots of fat. And, it was the most amazing thing in the world to me. But the biggest benefit was that I had brain energy throughout the day. I was able to do all my entrepreneurial activities, get all my workouts in, and not have any kind of dip. And the reason why I talk about it here so much is because I know so many guys out there who are dealing with massive amounts of fatigue, like not being able to get through their day, and by the end of the day, feeling like they just want to crash out on the couch and watch some TV. And I think that's big. I know you coach a lot of high-end executives and who have a lot on their plate. And so is this something that you normally recommend for somebody who's dealing with a lot in their lives, or is it something that you'd hold off on for certain types of people?
No, there's always a give and a take. There's always some people that should and some people that shouldn't. I mean, I can speak from, experience. I run 4 companies. I have, 14 employees across the country. I've got 6 right here in my office. I run at a pretty high RPM for the most part. And if it wasn't for being on a ketogenic diet, I don't know if it would really be possible or at least sustainable. I'm someone that I have a lot of willpower when I put in the mind something, so I'm sure I could go at warp speed for a little while, but the sustainability just wouldn't be there. The ketogenic diets allowed me to feel like I have a constant level of energy. I would be lying if I were to say that I'm just like on cloud 9, like
all the time,
crazy high energy all the time. But one of the things that I can honestly say about the ketogenic diet is on a scale of 1 to 10 with my energy, I am consistently a 7.5 to an 8. It's just like, that's the thing that I like about it. With carbs and living that style and the traditional American diet, I was like a 10, then a 1, then a 7, then a 3, then a 10, then a 1. It was just never predictable. I had these periods of just being like cracked out on like carbs, and then followed by periods of just wanting to curl up in a ball in the fetal position. Now it's like I wake up and I'm just good to go. And I'm wired, feeling great until it's time to lay my head down on the pillow and go to bed. And it's regulated everything for me, which is very, very tough, for someone, as you well know, to maintain your physique, to maintain the physicality you need to maintain, while also running companies is not easy. It's very, very tough. And that's why you see so many, CEOs and so many executives that just let their bodies go to crap, because it's just, as much as I would like to say, it's, bag on them for it. I get it. It's hard. So the ketogenic diet has made it a lot easier to be able to manage that and stay a little bit more sustainable for the long term.
When we're talking about trying to fight inflammation, it seems like a lot of the most interesting stuff that we're finding right now has to do with the gut microbiome. And a lot of the research that I look at, as far as what types of inflammation we want to look at, what types of inflammation we want to be fighting. They just came out with a study this past week, I think from Lund University in Sweden, that actually for the first time demonstrated that metabolites were interacting with our gut microbiome in patients or in subjects who were obese, who had high concentrations of BCAAs floating around in their bloodstream. They found that they had specific types of gut bacteria that were inhibiting absorption. So what are some good tips, tactics, tools that people could use to start to fix their gut? Because I think that's probably a necessary first step, right?
Yeah, and you nailed it. I think I told you before we hopped on this that, my background, my entire family is military, everything, I eat, slept, and breathed it growing up. And it was this. So I understand what is happening with, when I look at my sister, for example. She is an Air Force captain and she's actively, recruits officers out into civilian sector. One of the things that they're always battling with, of course, is, of course, as you well know, depression. And the thing is we have this thing called the enteric nervous system. Our gut is known as the second brain. We have more nerve endings for our autonomic nervous system in our gut than we do in our brain. So our gut affects our actual subconscious way more than even our brain does. So when our gut is unhealthy, it makes our bodies respond in a very negative way and can make you literally depressed because of the gut-brain axis and that communication. So I just want to just reiterate and really, really emphasize how important it is to take care of your gut. And that's probably one of the biggest things that is affecting people coming out of the military and transitioning into regular daily life as a civilian, because their gut biomes are so messed up, they don't have the communication pathway to cope with a different kind of stress that's in the civilian sector. Whole different world of stress, as you well know.
Yeah.
And it's so when we're looking at the gut biome, what you really want to start doing, the biggest tip that I can give people is don't rely on a probiotic. Probiotic is just going to add a little bit of extra bacteria into your gut. It's basically a drop in the bucket. We have hundreds of trillions of bacteria, and it's just constant in our gut. When you take a probiotic pill that has 30 billion CFU or 40 billion CFU, do you know how small that is compared to 100 trillion?
Yeah.
It's literally less than a drop in a 5-gallon bucket. So, and what's going to happen is you're just going to have this massive surge of the rest of bacteria that's already in your gut. It's just going to envelop that and it's just going to be gone. And plus, that's not factoring in that most probiotics are destroyed before they ever even get into the system in the first place because of the hydrochloric acid. So what do? You rely on prebiotic fibers. You see, prebiotic fibers are the fertilizer. That's the fertilizer for the existing bacteria in your gut. And prebiotic fibers come from foods that we naturally get, things like asparagus, things like artichokes, things that have the fibers, celery, anything where you see kind of those strands, that's really important. Those fibrous strands, that's prebiotic fiber. So asparagus has kind of stringy, artichoke kind of stringy, celery kind of stringy. Mushrooms are also really good. You want to eat a lot of those foods and you want to eat those in conjunction with your probiotics. So what if you look like this, you imagine this, you imagine a stomach or just an intestinal tract that has, let's just say, making math simple, 100 good bacteria and 200 bad bacteria. If you were to go ahead and start feeding yourself prebiotic fiber, lots of asparagus, lots of mushrooms, well, bacteria is going to feed on fiber no matter what. So since you already have more of the bad bacteria, that's going to flourish even more because there's already more of it and it's going to exponentially grow and envelop the good bacteria. So that's why you want to make sure that you're doing what you can to be taking probiotics in conjunction with prebiotics. And it doesn't do you much good unless you do that. But if you're at a baseline, 100 and 100, 100 good bacteria, 100 bad bacteria, again, making math simple, that prebiotic fiber is going to at least elevate those up enough to allow the probiotics to do their job. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah. And what you were talking about with the probiotics actually getting enveloped, is that does the same thing happen if you're eating fermented foods, raw sauerkraut or kimchi or something like that?
It's a super good question. And it does to an extent, but the nice thing is you have a good level of prebiotic fibers that are naturally existing in those. So that's the whole point. So that's when it comes down to it, fermented things. You know, what's so funny is one of the healthiest foods that you could possibly eat. It sounds so funny, is if you go down the canned food aisle and you get canned or jarred asparagus that's been pickled.
Really?
Yeah. It's asparagus. It's got the prebiotic fiber plus it's been fermented and pickled. And people are always just like, oh, it's bad. Well, if it has tons of preservatives, yeah. But usually it's just sitting there in a brine in the salt water with some chili flakes or something. And it's so funny. It's one of the best foods that you can get. And it's so cheap because no one really knows the power.
Yeah. That's probably so inexpensive.
It's $1.50 or something. Yeah.
And then you go to Whole Foods and you try to get some raw sauerkraut and it costs you $8 a jar, sometimes $15, $20 a jar or something like that. Wow. You just saved a lot of people a lot of money. That's awesome. And that's a thing. There's so many of these things that people could do that are going to be really good for them, but that are also also inexpensive. A lot of people think that they need to get some super crazy super secret probiotic that's going to cost them $50 and it's going to last them a couple of weeks, you know? And
yeah, totally.
That's pretty awesome.
There is a time and a place for good quality probiotics. I mean, I'll go on record and say that, you know, but there's a step one and a step two.
Definitely. Now, for somebody who's currently pre-diabetic or who is facing, who's been diagnosed with full-blown diabetes, what steps would you take? Now, I know you're not a doctor and we have to say that here on this podcast, but, if it were you who were facing pre-diabetes or full-blown diabetes, what steps would you take immediately?
Yeah. Well, I mean, the cool thing is I am pre-diabetic. I still am, you know, I was when I was overweight and I still am. And it's not one of those things like, I mean, I can honestly say like, you're not going to reverse diabetes, but you manage it, right? You manage it and you can take some of it. So I still, even when I eat very, very healthy, my fasting blood sugar is higher than I would want it to be because of the years of metabolic damage that I did to myself. Wow. But it's way more controlled now than it used to be. My fasting blood sugar used to be 120-ish. My fasting blood sugar now is, you know, in the high 80s, low 90s. So it's still on the higher end, but it's manageable, right? When I'm in ketosis, it's obviously much lower. So I can speak, you know, from experience. So when someone is facing that, you know, some of the things they're going to want to start doing right out the gate, there's some amazing foods that can just absolutely change your life without going on a ketogenic lifestyle or doing anything like that. And there's three of them. So one is red lentils, one is green lentils, and one is black beans. And they can all be made into pastas. And if you are living in an area where there's a Trader Joe's, they have pastas that are made from those. They have a black bean pasta, a green lentil pasta, a red lentil pasta. It sounds crazy, but they are so low glycemic and they fill you up with so much that single-handedly, I've monitored myself and done my own testing on my own blood sugar. When I go a week without eating those, if I'm not ketogenic, with a week with eating those, and my fasting blood sugar drops 15 points just by incorporating those at nighttime. Now, some people will say it's certain amounts of the lectins that do certain things with hormone signaling, but honestly, it's just the fact that you're just getting good quality, very low glycemic carbs. And I'm trying to like make this as simple as possible. And I'm always, whenever I do any podcasts or any videos, I try to give the viewers or the listeners some tangible things that they can do, because we only have a small amount of time together on these podcasts. So I want to be able to make sure the viewers and the listeners get something that they can take home out of this. But, black beans are amazing. I mean, you can have refried black beans and fill yourself up and lower your blood sugar all throughout the process and keeping, you know, so those are really powerful things. People will say that, you know, they cause all kinds of intestinal distress and everything like that. You know, you have to warm up to them. You don't want to go and eat two cans of black beans. You might end up bloated, but that's going to be really powerful. But the other thing that people can do is start just with their breakfast, or well, actually more importantly, is don't think that you always have to eat breakfast. That's just this thing, right? We have this, every time we eat, we are incurring cellular damage on our bodies and we're affecting our blood sugar. But where it's ingrained in our mind that we need to wake up and we need to eat immediately. And a lot of times, if you wake up in the morning, you realize that you're not even hungry. And people are afraid that they're going to lose muscle, they're going to lose their size, they're going to waste away if they don't eat breakfast. But the reality is, some of the things that you can do that are best for your diabetes, or your pre-diabetes, are just getting up in the morning and having some kind of MCT oil or coconut oil with your coffee. Bulletproof coffee is a great thing. You know, when you mix your coffee with a little bit of coconut oil and a little bit of grass-fed butter, you're still getting a few hundred calories, but you're not loading yourself up with the carbs that you're normally used to loading yourself up with. The sneaky things, the things like oatmeals, you know, those are so sneaky and they stack up, those carbs stack up. Cereals, even the healthy wheats, the healthy grains. And the most important one that I really want to stress for people is getting the gluten out of the diet. Mm-hmm. That is so big. And there's so many gluten alternatives now and so many gluten-free options that the link between gluten and inflammation and gluten and diabetes is just getting to be pretty extreme. We definitely are seeing a solid link there. And it all just has to do with the antibody response. Diabetes is inflammation. You have an inflammatory response that is causing the pancreas to respond differently. Type 1 diabetes is purely an autoimmune condition. That is autoimmune at its finest, which is purely inflammation. The body is fighting off its own insulin. It's fighting off its own response. So how do you control that? Well, to make matters very, very simple, gluten causes an antibody response in our body. So our bodies end up on high alert because of gluten. Now, I can spare the details, but essentially it has to do with the fact that we've been eating it so much for the last 50 years because it's in everything. And everything in those MREs is stuffed with gluten because it's filler and it's easy and it's cheap. And I'm not saying anything negative about our great country. I'm saying that we have to feed a lot of troops. So when you put that in there, it's a filler to make sure that you're getting the calories that you need in combat. Unfortunately, the food that you need to sustain life in combat is not the food that you need to sustain life in the real world.
Right.
And it's if you go on eating that same way, you're going to trigger a lot more of an immune response. And I would argue, I can't say this, 100%, but I would strongly argue that one of the reasons that there are so many instances of diabetes with veterans is because of all the gluten and all the starches and all the refined carbs that have been absolutely just pushed on them for years and years.
Absolutely. I agree with that 100%. Not only diabetes, but also I think a lot of the brain issues that we're seeing coming out in recent years over the past decade could probably at some point be traced back to the amount of inflammation that's happening from the diet. Yeah. I want to ask you one more question because I know we got to let you go. And this goes back to you personally. At one time, you were 280 pounds, right? And you did a video showing your stretch marks, showing how, you had pictures of yourself and your transformation. What caused you to want to change? What was the thing that said, I'm going to change right now? And I also know you're a new dad and you've got a young family. What's driving you right now to stay in the shape that you're in?
Yeah. So the first part of the question, my call to action to really make a change. The interesting thing is, this always shocks people, is that I literally didn't have one. Like, it's so wild. Like, I didn't wake up one morning and say, oh my gosh, look at myself. I have to change. It was this light just hit me where it was just the right thing to do. And so I wish I could say that there was this like super powerful thing where I woke up and I was just like, if I don't change, I'm gonna die. There was some of that, but it had been trickling in my life for a year. And it just finally built up to a point where I casually, very happily said, I think I want to get in shape. It was like, it's so weird. But then if I hadn't gone that route, like the doors that just wouldn't have opened in my life just wouldn't have opened. And so I've almost resigned to the fact of, rather than trying to dig up and try to find what my call to action was, because I'm sure there is one deep down, I honestly have just accepted that this was just my path. This was my journey. This is what happened, because I don't have that call to action. And it frustrates some people because I'm not giving them this compelling story. But the truth is I think life just guided me the way I was supposed to go, because I am so grateful for every minute that I was overweight. I learned so much about myself. And despite being unhealthy and unhappy, there were some amazing things that happened to me as a result of that. And I think it opened a lot of doors with meeting people, because they took me at face value versus how someone might look at me now being in shape and not knowing my story. And the second part of your question, what drives me now? It's funny that you mentioned my kiddo. People told me my life was going to change when I had a kid. I knew it was going to change, but no one could ever explain it. How I look at fitness and health now is so different. It's so wild. I now look, my driving force is literally like, holy crap, I don't want to die. It's like almost this fear every day, almost an unhealthy fear, where it's like, I used to be fearless when it came down to anything. And I still have this very low level of fear when it comes down to going out and doing anything extracurricular. But when it comes down to, I've already lost my dad to cancer. I've already lost other family members to cancer. I'm thinking about this all the time. I'm just like, oh my gosh, if I don't get to see my kid's next birthday, so it's a huge driving force for me. But I also have, I reach over 20 million people every week through my social channels. I have a lot of eyes on me and I motivate a lot of people. And there's a lot of days where I don't want to work out, or I don't want to stay close to my diet, or I don't want to be on track, but I motivate the heck out of a lot of people. And they motivate me just as much as I motivate them. So that keeps me going really hard and heavy.
That's absolutely awesome. Well, Thomas, I want to thank you so much for coming on. And we know you're on YouTube, and we'll definitely link your YouTube channel up. Where else can people find you on the internet?
Yeah, well, it's, they're probably having a hard time getting away from me, actually.
You're all over the place, man. Most websites I open up, I see your face. It's like the first thing that pops up.
Yeah, but it's, for anyone that wants to dive a little bit deeper, yeah, I mean, thomasdelauer.com is a good place to go just for information on just my life and what I do and some of my businesses. Facebook, YouTube, obviously great. So that's really the best place to find me. I mean, I think if people are really wanting to learn more about the ketogenic diet and everything like that, best place for them to go is definitely going to be to the YouTube channel. And I really hope that they can get something out of that that changes their life, even if it's just one little bit of information that makes their life that much easier.
Along with some really, really crazy drinks. Like I had one the other night. It was apple cider vinegar and almond milk and turmeric and ginger. And yep. I got it from Thomas, and it was actually pretty damn good. So
yeah, it's not bad, right? And then the one that I'm about to push out here in about 15 minutes is going to be it's a keto tiramisu, but like making a ketogenic tiramisu. So keep an eye out for that one.
Oh, honestly. Dude! All right, so I'm Italian. You just turned, yes. Just got me going. So you got to do a keto cannoli. You got to do a keto cannoli.
That would be pretty darn cool. Yeah, that's
yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
I can make it happen. I can make it happen. You can find a way. So,
All right, guys. Well, I am hungry now, and I will be stalking Thomas DeLauer's YouTube channel looking for some keto cannoli and keto tiramisu. But again, Thomas, thank you so much for coming on. And for everybody out there, well, Thomas just gave a wealth of knowledge of really affordable things you can do to take the first steps toward fitness and fighting your own inflammation. And the rest is up to you. You got to push, you got to find your own reason for doing these things. And above all, you need to be really concerned with living your best life. And whatever that means to you, it means to you, but you really want to make the most of the time that you have while you're here. So to everybody out there in the Warrior Soul Nation, get out there and live your best lives while you can.